This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, I meet with Grammy-nominated Australian-British saxophonist Amy Dixon. We will be talking about the temptation of constantly comparing yourselves to others on social media, as well as the importance of finding your own path and having the courage to pursue it. Hello, welcome to a new episode of Women in Classical. Today I have Amy Dixon with me. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
I'd like to start with your beginnings. How did you decide to do music? How did you decide to actually make a career out of it?
Well, I started playing the piano when I was two.
Okay.
But
are your parents musicians?
No, not at all. I think they're very musical, but they were never trained in music. So it's okay. Interesting. I started the saxophone when I was six because my piano teacher had said, well, it's a very versatile instrument, so it'll let you play jazz or classical or anything in between. And so I did. And I was just really lucky because I had a very inspiring teacher who lived down the road. And she's not that much older than I am. But she did indeed play classical and jazz saxophone. And she was just really cool and everything. She was everything I wanted to be.
So that
she
helps, was a huge that first teacher is such a
And she actually taught me all the way through until I was 18, and I came to London from Sydney, where I grew up, to go to the Royal College of Music. So I was really lucky to have her.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so did you? You know, obviously, as you said, she was doing jazz and classical. And how did that kind of go in your head? You know, did you have how did you go about that? Because obviously Royal College of Music is more
classical,
isn't it? Yeah. So did you already kind of make that choice when you came here?
Yeah, I've always felt like classical music was my home language, and jazz was something that I could do technically.
Yeah.
But it just felt like a foreign language to me. And okay. I love listening to lots of different types of jazz and all sorts of music. I love it very much, but I prefer, I just don't feel comfortable playing it in public. I'll do it on my own.
And so when you went to the Royal College of Music, did you already have the idea of making it your, you know, doing it for the rest of your life, making it your profession?
Yeah, I just always knew that was kind of what I was put here to do. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. And so I just put one foot in front of the other. I went in competitions like people do. And there are various big steps or turning points along the way that helped a lot. It was, I just always felt like this was the thing that I was put here to do. And that's, you know, it just felt right.
It's nice to have that. I also had from quite young, I kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And in a way, it can be, I guess, hard because you don't really have a plan B in your head. It's like the only thing, but also nice to know what you want, you know, what you're meant to do or what you want to do from the start. I think obviously there's, you know, kind of stepping stones on the way to a career. Would you be able to share kind of those big highlights that kind of took you where you are today?
Highlights of the career. Obviously, there have been some amazing concerts in really cool places. I always love playing at the Sydney Opera House because all of my family are in Sydney. and here at the Royal Albert Hall. So there are various venues that feel very special to me. Another highlight that happens quite regularly is just playing with musicians who I feel like I'm a musical soulmate almost with, and that's such a joy to play with people who, you know, no words are required. You just play, you know, you just make it work by listening, which is just the best. I love the travel as well. Really love traveling to new places. But I think working with composers on new music, which is something that I do a lot, is one of the things that I love the most. I love being that blank slate for a composer.
Very first kind of,
and just saying, you know, do whatever you want, anything at all. As I said, I love different genres of music. I love dipping into everything, and I love pushing the instrument. So it's quite a young instrument.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that we've actually pushed it to its limits yet, technically.
Yeah,
so there is still, people are getting to new heights, note-wise even, different techniques. It's a very versatile instrument, so kind of we're constantly pushing the boundaries of how much we can combine genres with each other. And so it's great to say to a composer, just do whatever you want to do, speak.
Oh, the freedom.
Just be completely yourself. And then, you know, receiving a new score and looking at it, and they, you know, they'll write you a nervous email and say, can you play it? Like, give me a while. Just give me a while. I'll see. that's a great joy. And then something that I've been doing a lot, especially during the pandemic, is my breathing program called Take a Breath, where I teach relaxed breathing techniques to mostly primary school age children to help them to combat stress and anxiety. And I also teach them about music at the same time. So that has been the most rewarding thing, especially, you know, during the time that we weren't able to perform on stage.
I feel like we would all need that.
Bizarrely, it's actually adults who need it
more. Yeah. Because, I wanted that. Amazing. And, you know, we've talked about highlights. It'd be wonderful to hear also, I guess, the other sides, which is the challenges that we all face. Firstly, as musicians, it's obviously quite a difficult career path to have chosen. But also as a woman in music, just any challenges that you faced and how have you managed to overcome them and to, you know, to manage to be where you are today? Because I always find that, you know, we look at people who, you know, people that we look up to and we think that sometimes they just got there in a click of a finger or they just got there easily. Mm-hmm. And it's so far from the truth most of the time. So it's always very inspiring to hear also the kind of hidden pictures of the, you know, of their career.
Yeah, there are definitely challenges as much as highlights, probably a few more challenges than highlights. One of the great joys, as I said, is new music. The flip side to that is that you know, it is a slightly limited repertoire, especially when looking for older works. So, you know, I can't offer an orchestra Tchaikovsky saxophone concerto, unfortunately. So that's probably been the biggest challenge. Mm. And, but, you know, I've had the honor of working with a lot of composers on new concertos now, new solo pieces and, repertoire for recitals. And there is a lot of interest in contemporary music, so that's, it's not such a bad thing. But it's probably been the biggest challenge, just not having the repertoire of,
that you need to, curate new and bring in audiences from.
Yeah, exactly.
To you.
And then as a woman, from that point of view, there are obvious for most of my career, I've felt like I was working in a man's world, and that's just a fact, you know. and sometimes, you know, I've worked with wonderful men. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, I feel like coming out of the pandemic as we are now, there seems to have been a really big shift, and I'm sensing this.
Yeah.
Amazing shift. It's really noticeable where people are trying to program works by women composers, and it just feels like there's more of a focus on including women, and it's just more normal
now. Yeah, I agree. There's been
a great
change, but I guess for a long part of your career, as you said, it wasn't quite there.
When I was a student, I was looking for you know, where I'd study when I left Australia, and nearly all of the saxophone teachers were men.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. They were fantastic. None of them were sexist or misogynistic or anything. They were fantastic people. But, you know,
it's nice to have role models, though, as well, I guess, in your own instrument. It's not
like my first saxophone teacher is. Yeah, it is nice. And yeah, it's also, I think, for a young girl, it can be quite intimidating when, you know, I've walked on stage to rehearse a concerto and there might have been 80 other people on the stage and I was the only woman. And that can be really intimidating.
Yeah.
In silly ways.
Yeah.
What am I wearing? What are they thinking of me? But when you're a kid, when you're just out of college, that, I guess, it takes a bit of focus off the music, which is challenging.
I was speaking to Jennifer Pike on an earlier episode, and she shared a very similar thought, saying that especially when she started her career quite young, and being on stage, you know, sometimes as a soloist, and just you know, taking ownership of the place that you have can be quite difficult to, you know, to feel kind of that you're able to express your thoughts, you're able to, you know, feel that confidence being there. It's not easy.
It's not. And I think the first years out of music college are so challenging.
Yeah.
Actually, now I'm a little bit older, and also I have my own family now, and I just feel like everything's shifted a little bit confidence-wise.
Yeah.
And it's I feel much more comfortable in my own skin, and that's just a matter of getting older. I think.
Yeah.
You know, I tried everything else.
It didn't work. Just experience Has there been any women figures in your life that have inspired you? I know you talked about, obviously, your very first teacher has been a huge inspiration, but has there been any others?
Yes, lots, in different ways. I think women who does something with complete integrity, that's the biggest inspiration for me. People who maybe push the boundaries or just, you know, take their field to a much higher level, take it completely seriously.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it feels like we live in a bit of a scatterbrained world where everyone's trying to do a million things. People who can really focus and take something to a very high level, I find very inspiring. And also people who are able to have a longer career but keep changing and finding new creative avenues to go down.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I was once told, and I will obviously not mention names, but I was once told saying, you know, enjoy your career whilst it lasts, because you will not always be looking young. And I thought, wow, okay. Yeah. But it's a very interesting point as well. I mean, you know, despite the comment being out of place, but I think, you know, it's with our industry, we kind of always have to find new ways to find new things and reinvent ourselves a little bit in a way that you can't just always be doing the same thing, right?
It is a creative industry.
Yeah.
That's the point. We're always, and also we change in our lives.
Yeah.
And every album that I've made, I felt like it was a comment on where I was in my life at that period, at some level, sometimes more acutely than others. But, and sometimes I only realized it afterwards.
Yeah, looking back.
But you do change.
Yeah.
With different experiences.
Yeah.
And so it's important to reflect on that in your art.
Yeah. That's beautiful that you mentioned the albums. I think, I mean, I've just had my very first one out. Oh. But I think, obviously, I mean, how many have you had so far?
I think I've put out 8 albums with Sony.
Quite impressive. And so I think it must be nice to kind of look back at them and kind of see your whole career and life kind of growth around that.
Yeah, the very first one, it was Smile, because the first track was Smile. And it was a really happy, just it was just a lovely album, and I made it just after I'd started dating the man I've married, Jamie. And then there was, you know, the one after that. I won't go through them all, I promise. But then there was a darker one when my parents got divorced, and it really hit me hard. And so it's definitely slightly biographical with each album.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's the wonderful thing about music, isn't it? We can really express ourselves around.
Yeah, in an elegant way.
Yeah, yeah. Lastly, if you could give advice or a tip to young women coming into the industry, something that you'd wish to have known.
I always think that there are two pieces of advice that I would, you know, give if asked, based on my own experience. And one is to try to find the things that you're good at, try to find your strengths, and not to aspire to things for other reasons. Just really listen to your own set, you know, skills, and work out what you're put here to do, and then to work as hard as you can to do that to the best of your ability. And I think that if everybody did that, the world would be a better place. You know, if everyone just kind of defended their own corner and did their things as well as they could. And the other thing, especially as a young woman or a young person, I guess, is not to compare yourself to other people. And it's really tempting in this age of social media to look at other people's feeds and think, oh gosh, you're doing that, I'm not doing that, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so challenging. And just turn that off. Just don't think about it, because music isn't a competition. There are so many different avenues to go down. It's a creative field. And the people who have had some of the most extraordinary careers have just done things that nobody's done before.
Yeah.
So why compare yourself to anybody else?
Yeah.
Just do your own thing.
Do your own thing. Yeah. But I think it's not always encouraged really in the music world to do your own thing. I've personally found that, you know, you easily get criticized, you know, and judged if you are doing something new. And obviously when you realize that actually it is what you really want and it's, you know, you're good at it and it's working, then it's obviously then easier to ignore. But at the beginning, when you take that first step and having the courage of going out of that, you know, box that people put you in, and that expect you to be in there and to go your own way, especially I think when you've just been a student, where you've kind of had that, you know, square kind of and actually going out and doing something new. So it's, even though it is rewarding, but I think it can be quite difficult.
It is difficult until you've done something, a few things. It's that old thing of, you know, if you say something three times, whatever it is, then it's true. it is, if you do something new that nobody's done before, then it's going to be surprising.
Yeah.
And so once it's been done a few times, then people start to accept it.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with me. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.